Hello and welcome to Netflix, your weekly guide to everything that's coming out on Netflix this week. And this week we're going to hit up End of the Effing World, which is the Channel 4 produced TV show, which is based on the graphic novel. Season 2's now been released on Channel 4, which hasn't hit Netflix yet, but it's coming out within the next year or so, but Netflix has got it worldwide. So this week I'm joined by...
Hayley Anson. I'm a TV reporter at The Express as well.
And I'm Callum Crumlish. And this week we'll be talking to you about why you need to be watching End of the Effing World right now.
Barney Kinkle, the only person you're going to scare is yourself!
Charlie!
What are you doing?
Keep the noise down.
What are you doing here?
Maze, just in time.
There's a whole load of police here. Don't worry, you're gonna hurt yourself. Or someone else.
How many children are you friends with?
So, Hayley, hello. Thanks for coming along.
Thank you. Thank you for taking me.
End of the Effing World, the first season. Let's start off there. That kind of came out of nowhere, and it was really, it was not at all what I expected, and it was really kind of a little bit groundbreaking. It was this really edgy Tarantino 30-minute per episode show, Channel 4 produced, like I said, and it was just ridiculous. You watched the first season?
I absolutely loved it. I didn't expect to like it as much as I did. Mm-hmm. I was randomly just like scrolling through Netflix, and then I just found it. I was like, okay, bored one day, I might as well just watch it. Sure. And then I just binge watched it in one day.
And it's so easy to.
It's just like, I think it's 'cause it's just like, it's short. Yeah. It's only like, was it like 20, 30 minutes, if that?
Yeah.
And just like, and I think it was so, like you said, it was groundbreaking. It was so interesting. I think the way that they film it is very interesting. It's so different from anything that I've seen before. Mm. And I think the characters are so engaging. And I think that's what kind of like, now everyone, there's sort of like a cult following now, I kind of think.
Absolutely, yeah. So it stars Jessica Barden, who plays Alyssa, and Alex Lawther, who plays James. They're sort of this renegade, on the run teenage duo who... James thinks he's a psychopath and he wants to kill someone. Alyssa's just like, get me out of my life. I hate it. They stumble, spoilers for the first season, by the way. They stumble across a man who's been doing horrific things to women, and it's alluded to that he's a serial killer. So they end up killing him via self-defense. They go on the run. It kind of all spools out into this weird and wonderful story that you
don't expect it to go where it goes at all.
You're watching these, on paper, they're like horrible characters. They're like real not nice people. And then you kind of just grow to love them.
Yeah, I don't think I'd like to meet them. I'm not sure if I would. I don't think I'd like to actually like speak to them. Because I think even just like Alyssa, even though I love her as a character, I think she'd get really on my nerves. I think she'd be really irritating. James is just really quiet. But because I think you've got that internal monologue where you get to hear their thoughts as well, and you get to understand the characters more, I think that's why people grow to love them in the end.
I don't understand like how that works, because you're told from day one, like, show, don't tell. Don't sit there saying, oh, this is what XYZ is thinking. James has literally got a voiceover saying, I didn't know what that meant. And like, I'm not inferring that from his acting. Like, it's literally being told to me, but it works so well.
Yeah, which is weird. Because I don't think it's ever been a show that's been like that's been filmed in that way. And I think that's what makes it stand out so much. And I think just like, so when there was a second series, I heard that was coming out, I was like, oh my God, I didn't know where it was going to go. It's after the ending of the first season, obviously.
Perfect segue.
Yeah, thank you. Very good at this.
So the second season was announced like, like 3 weeks ago, a month ago, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
We all kind of lost our minds a little bit because, as you said, we didn't know there was going to be a second season. And for background, End of the Effing World was based on a graphic novel of the same name, and where the first season ended, so did the graphic novel end. Yeah. So there's no more story there. And Charlie Koval, who's the sort of head writer of the series, she then had to sort of, you know, progress the story. How would these characters...
So this is all from her imagination.
Exactly.
So this is nothing to do with the graphic novel now, pretty
much. Yeah, exactly. And... you wouldn't ever know, I don't think, personally. Like,
no, I think the way, because obviously we went to the screening of the first couple of episodes, and I was a little bit skeptical at first because I thought, because the ending of the first season, it ended so perfectly. I just thought, oh, you can't really top that. I thought that was the end of it. Mm. So I was a little bit thinking, is this going to be any good?
Yeah.
But when we saw it, I was very surprised. It was brilliant. I loved it, personally.
So again, spoilers for the end of the first season. James sort of knocks Alyssa out, knocks her down, and he takes the blame for for the murder, and he goes on the run for like 5 minutes, and then he gets shot, and then it ends, and that's it. That's all you're left with. You're left to think, does he die? Is he alive? Does he get caught? Like, you know, there are a million ways. Yeah, there are a million ways his story could go. This second season sort of progresses that even further. But the most interesting thing to me for the beginning of season two was you instantly get a cold start with a brand new character.
Yeah.
So you get introduced, or viewers get introduced to Bonnie, who is Naomi Aki, and she is in the new Star Wars movie, which is just something that now
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. And, so Bonnie is a young lady with a really troubled home life. She gets wrapped up in a really abusive kind of relationship with Clive Cock, who's the man who was killed in the first season, and then that's how this is sort of all wrapped around.
All linked.
Yeah, and I thought her introduction was really good because it's got that perfect splice of dark comedy and just really horrific stuff.
It felt like the end of the effing world. Felt like it didn't feel like, oh, this is a new show almost, which it could have done because obviously the first season was just based on the graphic novels, obviously. But it felt like, oh, it was connected. Mm. And I think it was really interesting the fact that they started off with Bonnie's story as well. So they didn't tell you about, what's going to happen with James and Alyssa. They didn't tell you anything of that. They just went straight into this new character, which I think could have been a bit risky.
Absolutely.
But I think because she's so engaging and she's so quite terrifying, really.
Completely.
I think that's why people are hooked now.
So the first season of the show, she walks into a convenience store and the guy's like, oh, I think I know you. What have you been doing? And she was like, oh, I was in prison. I killed someone. And then he's laughing because he doesn't know she's serious or not.
Yeah, of course she was.
And she was like, no, I meant to.
I don't think he expected that.
A really good deadpan from her. I think it's hard
she was brilliant.
I think throughout, so I've watched the whole season.
Yeah.
And I think throughout it, I kind of slept on her a little bit because there's not a lot of, it looks like there's not a lot of acting on her part, but really she's doing so much work to just be the most deadpan throughout the whole season. It's really good. She's amazing.
When we saw the first two episodes, obviously there was a Q&A with the cast afterwards as well. And then Naomi, the actress, she was saying about how tense her body was throughout the whole thing. So then she was just like, oh, it was exhausting. Just carrying that weight all day. And then afterwards she'd be like, she'd just be in a funk mood afterwards just because it was so hard. And I think, like you said, it doesn't look like she's doing that much, but she really is to keep up that sort of body language that she's doing.
I think for me, starting the season with her story only really works because of the streaming generation that we are.
Yeah.
Because the whole season's dropped on Channel 4 or Netflix or wherever you are. I can instantly then watch the next episode. Whereas if this was a weekly show,
do you think people would not be as interested if it was?
I'd be disheartened, because I'm what happened to James? Is he alive? Is Alyssa in prison? What the hell's going on? And then if my first episode was Bonnie, which again, great character, but not the characters I was there for originally, and then I have to wait 7 days, I'd be like, come on, guys.
Yeah, but at the same time, I think because Channel 4, they were double billing it.
Absolutely.
So they're doing it all this week, I think, till tomorrow. Till Thursday. So I think...
Yeah, you're right.
Because they were showing own back-to-back episodes, then I think that's why it kind of worked. Mm-hmm. I think if they didn't do that, then I do agree. I think if it was just one a week, then I think you would have lost interest. But I think because they had Bonnie and straight away they explained, here's what's happening with Alyssa and James, then that kind of made sense.
Yeah, so last night we turned it on, my wife and I, and we just watched all our episodes from start to finish. And it was so good, which is also what we did with End of the Effing World 1. And it just works as a package. But also I think if you did three episodes and then another one, every episode is such a well-written contained story in the overarching plot that it's so well done. Okay, we're going to go Point of No Return here.
Okay.
If you don't want to get spoiled for any more End of the Effing World season 2, then you have been warned. This is your last chance. So
I hope you do carry on listening. But if you don't, then I completely understand why.
So James, he's alive.
Da, da, da.
They kept it, they kept it so secret and it was awesome. And they even said in the Q&A, my God, I haven't been able to say anything for over 2 years.
I know, we're just thank goodness we can actually shout out, James is not dead.
Yeah.
I was half and half because I did think, oh no, they're definitely going to bring him back. But then I think from the trailer, then the first episode with Bonnie, and then obviously James wasn't shown until a little bit later in the second episode, I kind of thought, okay, maybe he is dead. And then maybe I kind of thought he might come back maybe in a flashback kind of sense rather than actually physically him.
Mm.
And it would just be following Alyssa's journey.
Yeah.
But when he came, I was like, oh, thank goodness.
I know. I feel like he's an entirely different character in this season. I need to be careful what I say because of where are you on it?
I'm only on episode 4.
Okay.
Oh God.
It's fine. I'm not gonna spoil anything. But it's just if you were to watch season 1 and then season 2 back to back, you would see, I think, a night and day difference with James.
No, actually, to be fair, I think from what I've got so far. Yeah, if I'm thinking about back to season one, like early season one.
Like he was just like, I'm going to kill someone. I'm a psychopath. I don't care about my life. In this one, he's a bit more like...
I think like even in the first, I think the second episode or something, like he's crying because obviously like with Alyssa and stuff.
Absolutely.
So I think, he's obviously much more in tune with his emotions. I think he's definitely more human. And I think especially in the episodes I've watched anyway, I think he's quite cute. He's quite sweet. And I think when he sees like Alyssa again, I think he does like a little smile and I'm like, oh.
There's a line in that.
He really loves her.
Where he says, where he sees Alyssa through the cafe and he says like somehow seeing her from afar, like made it all better or something.
It's just so
like,
sweet.
Yeah, he was really good. And I think, I've lost his name again, Alex Lothar?
Yeah, Alex.
Yeah. I think he's so good. Again, with these really subtle performances, he doesn't do loads. He's a lot of weird facial expressions and he's just really weird kid. But he's just so good in it.
I think all of them are great, don't get me wrong. I think they're fantastic actors. But I think it says a lot about the filming and the writing as well. I think it's both. I think the whole thing is such a spectacle to watch. I think it's just like I said before, it's like nothing I've ever seen. And I think I think that's why it works. I think that's why season two, I think, is going to be really just as popular as the first one.
Yeah, I would say this is like a more tightly woven series. Because I know the first season was after the graphic novel and everything, but I feel like that maybe had like a couple weird loose ends. Because we had the lady that was in Game of Thrones as well. She was the detective and we saw a lot of her. And then that kind of went nowhere. Yeah. But this one, I feel like it's a lot tighter. Okay. And James's character in particular is really good. But the real reason I'm here is Alyssa. Her character throughout this whole thing, again, not spoiling anything, it's so good. It's so good. And Jessica Bardin's like unbelievable.
She's, honestly, she's so funny and just like so lovable.
Mm.
I think just like obviously when we was at the Q&A and she was making everyone just like crack up laughing. Yeah. And she was just a genuine person.
Yeah.
And I think her acting in it is just like, it is outstanding. She's a brilliant character.
So when we meet Alyssa again, she has been sort of run off with her mum. Her mum's broken up with her husband and they've gone to live with her mum's sister, I believe. Yeah. And now she works at a cafe owned by her aunt. So
which is quite funny actually because of the first season.
Exactly, yeah. And they reference that as well.
She was giving abuse to the other waitress. I know, I love that bit.
Really good. And then because of that, she's like working this kind of dead end job and she's like hating her life again. And she meets this guy named Todd and Todd seems really nice.
I love Todd.
He's genuinely like a really nice guy.
I had to write a story about this earlier.
Really?
And about Todd, who the actor is Josh Dillon, and he was in Mamma Mia too.
Shut up.
Yeah, he was young Bill Anderson, the guy on the boat.
No.
I didn't realise this until I read it. I was like, oh my God.
Todd was a catch.
I know, he was great. I really fancied him in Mamma Mia too. So I was like,
Alyssa.
Wow. Alyssa's got the boat. Got the boat boy.
I'd like to see like a mashup of Mamma Mia and End of the Effing World.
Well, with Alyssa dancing.
Yeah.
Dancing Queen.
Yeah. And
I don't know if that will work.
Obviously, no. Alex Lothar will be Piers Brosnan.
Yeah, obviously.
what was I saying? Yeah, Todd. Todd's really nice. And like he's shown to be like kind of just a simple lad and he teaches canoeing or something to the kids.
I think that's adorable. But the thing, there's a bit in it when obviously, okay, this is another spoiler, obviously, but like from the first couple of episodes when obviously Alyssa and him like get married and stuff, just like, and he emails like, oh, I love you. And like he looks over at her so like lovingly.
He's so sweet.
And it just makes my heart melt. And I know I want her and James to be together. I can't say anything else apart from that. Just like, I want them to be together, definitely. But Todd, I just think he's like adorable and he deserves love and happiness in his life. He's so adorable.
He's like the, in every like rom-com when the nice guy gets shafted for like the brooding guy or whatever. Like it was just, it was really good.
I think she's right as well, Alyssa, because she describes him as like a dog.
Yeah.
And I think he's very much like
a lovely puppy.
Yeah, like a lovely puppy you just want to keep. Just like, oh.
It was really cool. So Alyssa sort of gets wrapped up in this thing. She sees that like, her being in a relationship kind of makes her mum a little happy, so then she agrees to marry Todd, which is why all the promotional materials got Alyssa in a wedding dress. But then obviously James, as we know, sort of turns up and throws a spanner in the whole works. But I think Alyssa's story is really great, and I don't think the real good meaty stuff comes along until episodes like 6 to 8.
Oh, okay.
And it's so good, Hayley. Really good.
Okay, well, I will talk to you about this.
Like, I'm not going to spoil anything. But and it's a really great mix between the writing is amazing and Jessica Bardin's really, really good in it. And the whole end sort of crescendo of the season is just wonderful. Oh. And I really, really enjoyed it. And I rarely think like second seasons are good or like as good as the first season. And I would honestly, I think this is my preferred season now.
What, you prefer this to season one?
Yeah, I do. It was just, okay. I don't know if that's because I've got like the first season under my belt. Like you couldn't obviously watch season two without season one, but you can see how much everyone's changed from season one. And it just is so good. And I love it. I really love it. Like we're thinking about like binging it again over the weekend, like both seasons back to back because we're sad. We have nothing else to do.
Why not? Yeah, no, I think that I do. I love the series so much. I think that I'm only halfway through.
Sure.
So you're making me very excited to see the final really good, four man. Episodes of this. But I don't want to finish it in a way because I don't want it to end.
I know. That's why we kind of want to watch it again because we're like, oh, yeah, God.
I get why.
Yeah. Like, it's over now. I waited 2 years. I finished it in one night.
I can't believe you did that.
It's ridiculous. Who does that?
I've only done four.
Exactly.
It's only like a couple of days ago, by the way, everyone.
Okay, so there's this thing in episode 7, which we can't talk about because you haven't seen it, and I'm not going to spoil it because it is the highlight of the series. But when you get there, you'll know.
Okay.
Episode 7, something happens, and it is so unbelievably good, and I can't even talk about it. I shouldn't have brought this up.
Oh, my God.
I can't even talk about it.
I know you can't, but I'm really excited just for that episode now. What, episode 7?
Episode 7. So it's like penultimate episode, and it's... The only reason I'm bringing it up is because it's literally the first time in, I would say, like, years that I've stood up and screamed at the telly.
No.
Like, both my wife and I were just, like, in an emotion. I can't even tell you which emotion.
You can't tell me what emotion.
No, it was just unbelievable.
I'm just trying to think what it could be now.
Yeah, it was really good. And okay. When you get there, you'll know, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll be like, Callum, look, I got there.
Yeah, honestly, I think when more people get there, the internet is slowly going to melt down.
Yeah, because I went on Reddit earlier just to look at like what people were talking about and everything. And pretty much everything was like labeled spoiler, 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 mm-hmm. spoiler, spoiler, spoiler to do with like the end of this like the other half of the season. So I'm assuming it's got something to do with that. I didn't click on it because I didn't want to ruin it for myself, but I will probably be finishing it in the next couple of days or so I'll let you know.
Please do. It's really interesting and good. But that's kind of the thing I love about this. Like, not loads happens, you know? Like, I know you could easily boil it down to... Well, they do in the recap in the beginning of the second season. They boil it down to, they ran away, they killed someone, they ran away again, he got shot at the end. Like, you can boil it down to these, like, big plot points. But it's mostly about these weird little scenes with them in the car, like, struggling to talk to each other.
It's the little moments rather than the big things that happen. I think the big moments are great when they do them, but I think what makes it so popular and what makes it so watchable is the little tiny moments that happen between James and Alyssa and now Bonnie, who I think is just fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
I think she's such an interesting character. And I think I've also kind of fell in love with Gus a little bit from the motel.
Okay,
he was only in it for a little bit.
Yeah.
But from where I am in the minute, he's only in for a little bit. But I think he's really sweet as well. So I think, like, I don't know. Him and Todd could be friends.
He was like front billing on some of the, like the promos.
Yeah, I kept seeing like pictures of him, and I didn't get why. But obviously, I haven't seen all the way through, so I don't know if he's going to be a major part in it. But he was adorable.
And
so.
That's another. I'm just like ducking and diving over all sorts of things at the moment. But that's another thing about these gosh darn show. That like all of the minor characters are so memorable. Like there's a guy later on in a pharmacy who is honestly the most bit part ever, but he's so memorable and he's great. And every place. Every sort of location the duo like venture to, everyone's really great and memorable, and you'll always go to your mate like, oh, I really love that scene with, you know, the pharmacist, or I really love Gus from the motel. Like,
I
really
think
good stuff.
All the characters in a weird way could be leading characters in their own right. I think you can always have like little mini spin-off series talking about all these other things and all these other people.
They've like all been thought about for like at least more than 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, definitely. They're not just like added in characters, which I've really enjoyed, is the fact that I think she's sort of like, she sat down and she's kind of gone, okay, well, I think this character, and then she's actually thought of a backstory for them. It feels like they've got like a long history, which we don't see.
Yeah.
But then you can feel it in the writing, definitely.
Mm. It's sort of like, to me, it's sort of the inverse of Riverdale. Whereas Riverdale's like grand and just illustrious, and there's just a million characters and none of them do anything. And
this is like, you know what? That's such an amazing way to describe it. Just like, obviously we're massive Riverdale fans here.
Of course, yeah.
But, yeah, it's like the complete opposite.
Yeah, instead of 22... Yeah, I've got, oh yeah, absolutely, for different reasons.
Yeah, different reasons, completely.
But instead of 22 episodes at like 45 minutes each, this is like 8 episodes flat, 30 minutes each, if that. Every character has really got a meaning to it, him or her, and yeah, it's really good. They're just love.
Yeah, and like you said, obviously, like, not very much happens, sort of like in like End of the Effing World. But then in Riverdale, it's like there's loads going on, like every single minute, it's boom, boom, boom. There's always stuff happening. And also, I think, okay, maybe I prefer the characters of, is it, I'm not sure if it's controversial, but I prefer the characters, obviously, of like End of the Effing World, even though it's a shorter series and Riverdale's obviously got a massive following. But I do, obviously, I think they're really well written in End of the Effing World. But I don't know. I think it's just because Riverdale. Yeah, I forgot what I'm saying.
They're both very different and very good.
Yeah, they're both different. And I think, yeah, like you said, I think it's like they're the complete opposites, which I love.
I feel like if you spliced each episode with each other, like you watched a Riverdale and then an End of the Effing World, like you'd just get whiplash.
I know. I think you'd get like a perfect life balance. Just like, oh, I'm really excited.
One thing I didn't write down, which I'm going to allude to, I'm going to talk about it. So when we were at the Q&A, Charlie Koval said that definitively there would not be a season 3 and like this is it. Obviously I know what happens, but what do you think about that? Because that's kind of what everyone said after the first season. This has come to an end, the graphic novels come to that end, so therefore that's where the story ends.
I didn't think like everyone else, I didn't think there was going to be a second season. I thought end of like series 1, okay, done, that was it sort of thing. And then yeah, I was worried about how the second season coming out because I didn't want to ruin it. But then obviously it's been amazing and it's been in like, I think, like you said, I think it potentially could be better than the first one. So I get why she doesn't want to. I obviously haven't seen the ending of season 2, but I get why she doesn't want to do a third season. I think, like she said, it's sometimes better to just leave it at that. Like it, so I think sometimes problems with shows is that because it's got that popularity and loads of like people are watching it all the time, they think, oh, we've got to make another series, and they feel that pressure. Well, I think she's been really smart about it and thinking, I'd rather do quality over quantity and actually produce a show that's really good, and rather than extending it and ruining the show's memory, she'd rather just be like, okay, well, there's only 2 seasons, but they're bloody brilliant. I think I was talking about it with my dad the other day, and I think there was only like two, three seasons of like, for instance, like 40 Towers.
Sure.
There was only like, there's not that many shows of that, but it's really memorable and people love it. But I think if that was extended, then I think people thought, oh, well, that's a bit rubbish.
Yeah.
So I think she's sort of thought about that a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I kind of respect her for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And you can see why the decisions that Charlie has made at the end of the series are, you can see why she's made them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
did you like the ending?
Yeah.
Obviously don't tell me.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it felt like an ending, like it's been?
It felt like how End of the Effing World would do an ending.
Ooh,
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel like, what you mean, but I'm trying to.
Okay, I'm not going to say much more than this, but I feel like on paper you'd be kind of like, well, that's not really an ending. But then in practice, because it's this show and it's this style and it's these characters and these actors, it's like, oh no, that's perfect for that.
It makes sense.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So as always here on Netflix, we like to, what's the word? Recommend, there it is.
Yeah.
As always, here on Netflix, we like to recommend the other shows that you should be watching after you've binged End of the Effing World Season 1 and Season 2 when it comes out on Netflix next year. And each of us and our overlord, Helen, has given a recommendation this week. So, Hayley, do you want to start off?
After watching the End of the Effing World, I think you should then potentially go on to Bates Motel. It's not a new series. I think it was released, quite a few years ago now. But it's about, it's the backstory of Norman Bates. So if you watch Psycho, Alfred Hitchcock's famous film, you know, with the shower and the murdering and all that. If you've watched the film, then I think you'd be really interested in this. I think obviously James, like, he's not a psycho, as we later found out in the first series. But I think it's that, it's the same sort of vibe. And I think it's quite interesting. And I think it's, if you like murder mysteries, and I think if you like the sort of like, oh, making of a murderer type shows, I think this is the perfect show to watch. Because I think it shows exactly sort of like his backstory and how he gets to be where he is in the film.
Sure.
So I think that would probably be the best thing and to watch next.
Norman Bates is played by Freddie Highmore, right? Who is now in The Good Doctor.
Yes, of
and
course.
I love him in The Good Doctor.
Brilliant.
I've never watched Bates Motel, so I need to do that.
I think you'd like it.
Is it? I feel like it's like a lot of seasons, or is it just
it's
a few?
It's 5
seasons? Okay.
So it's a few, but it's not too much. And I think they're not on for that long either.
Right.
So I definitely recommend watching it. It's great.
I'm going to recommend you, not you, Hayley, but you, the show.
I love you.
Right. I know. Of course. Again, going on with this sort of teenage psychopathic fantasy show, you follows a young man.
His name is
Joe. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. Sorry, mind blank.
Forgot it as well.
You follows Joe, and he's obsessed with a girl that he meets, and it kind of dives into his... It dives into his day-to-day of sort of stalking this girl, like, in a way, manipulating her, and then he you know, his threshold of what he would do for her breaks very quickly in a lot of ways, and it's really good, and you find yourself really rooting for this absolutely horrible person. I ended up watching it with my wife back when it came out, and she loved him. She loved him so much.
I get why. I think loads of women, I saw online, loads of women were talking about why they loved him, saying like, oh, he's such a lovely character, he's so nice. And
he's
thing is,
killed everyone.
I know, okay, but I unashamedly, I fell into this trap as well for a little bit.
Of course.
Because I was like, oh, because no, at one point, I don't want to spoil it, but then when they're sort of like him and the girl is all talking and stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's so romantic and that's so sweet. And I was happy at certain points and I was kind of like, no, I had to stop myself. Think, no, actually, he's really creepy.
Yeah.
You should not be like rooting for him at all. So I think it's easy to fall into that trap with this character, which I think is so interesting, that how you can play both parts, like as in the romantic hero mm-hmm. as well as the creepy stalker that you want to run away from.
It's again with that monologue thing, like in End of the Effing World. You get sort of his true intentions or whatever he wants in that really monotone thing that he goes through in every episode. And it's really good. It's really...
Yeah.
Smart, and it's like an American Psycho, which I think is also on Netflix, so there's a bonus one for you. This good-looking, charming, regular, everyday, average Joe, if you will, is a crazy man.
That was a good pun.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. No one ever appreciates my puns around here. You can come again. And our overlord, Helen, has requested Shameless, which is the, again, Channel 4 sort of comedy, dark comedy, dysfunctional family show about, she says, people and their mundane lives, which becomes mad exciting. Ooh. I've never watched Shameless.
I haven't seen it actually, but I've heard it's amazing, so I might have to watch that.
It must have been popular because it's one of those shows that then got remade in America.
Yeah,
right?
And people talk about it all the time. Whenever people like talk about like any like Channel 4 shows, they're like, oh, you gotta watch Shameless.
So we're Shameless. Yeah, exactly. Those are recommendations. Bates Motel, You, and Shameless, and American Psycho, if you fancy a movie. So next week, every week, we are back, and next week's the big one. It's The Crown. Are you a fan of The Crown?
I love The Crown.
The Crown
it's
season.
Amazing.
The Crown season 3 is back, and I believe one of our reporters might have all of the episodes or some of them. Anyway, next week we're talking about it because it's coming back on the 17th, and I believe that's maybe next Sunday.
Sunday.
Not this Sunday, next Sunday. So we're going to have an episode ready for you to binge before you binge the show.
Cannot wait.
So that's very exciting. And as always, thank you for listening. Listen to Netflix next week, and we will be talking about The Crown Season 3 for its release on the 17th of November. Thanks for listening, and as always, give us a like and a follow on @NetflixPod on Twitter. Subscribe, comment, rate, tell your friends. Hayley,
all
your friends.
I'll tell everyone. I'll shout out as soon as I leave.
And next week it'll be Helen Daly once again, and her, maybe we'll be in it, but it'll be a troop of Crown fans.
We'll let you know.
Thanks for listening.